This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:49 in the morning, you're listening to The Morning Run with Shazana Chuang and Philip. Arguably, the story of 2021 for Malaysia's tech ecosystem was Intel Corporation's $7.1 billion investment into the country. That's around 30 billion ringgit, by the way. The 10-year investment sent shockwaves, with both federal and Penang state government saying that it's evidence of Malaysia's sustained competitiveness as a high-tech investment destination.
Yeah, and while 2021 has been a bumper year for the semiconductor industry, you know, growing 20% year-on-year, they did encounter many challenges, right, from lockdowns to supply chain disruptions, you know, impacting production. But in Malaysia, hopes remain high that 2022 will continue to deliver a strong performance. But the question is, are many of the local players equipped to level up and participate, and whether Malaysia can continue to attract new investments from other MNCs?
That is the question. And to garner some insights on the development of the semiconductor industry in 2022, we have on the line Datuk Sri Wong Siew Hai, President of the Malaysia Semiconductor Industry Association. Datuk, good morning. Thank you very much for joining us today. 2021 clearly was a stellar year for many players across the semiconductor value chain. Do you think that success will continue into the new year?
Good morning. Thank you for inviting me to BFM again. Early last year, the World Semiconductor Trade Statistics forecasted a growth of 20% in 2021 and 10% in 2022. Today, the growth in 2021 is around 25.6%, and in 2022, it is forecasted to grow at 8.8%, based on a large base already. The worldwide semiconductor market is expected to continue to increase due to shortages and growing demands in the market. In Malaysia, with new investments and expansions in 2021 and 2022, I expect the E&E exports to continue to grow.
Dr. Sri, but nonetheless, 2021 was also the year of supply chain disruptions. Do you see that disruption ending this year?
Yeah, the situation has improved, but we can't really predict. We expect that there will be continued disruptions in 2022. What and where the disruptions will be are anyone's guess. But climate change and COVID-19 will continue to be a factor in the disruptions. This past week, the Chinese city of Xi'an locked down the city to curb COVID-19 infections. Companies producing DRAM are affected. Logistics is another area that could cause disruption, especially in shipping.
You know, I wonder, when you think about 2021 and all the local players here in the ecosystem, do you think they fared well? Do you think they were able to adapt and were agile in response to all these challenges?
I think the local companies are trying their best, I think, to keep up, and some are moving up the value chain. We have existing MNCs expanding, like Intel's recent announcement of 30 billion in Penang, as you mentioned, and other recent announcements as well, including AT&S, 8.5 billion, Infineon's 12 billion investment. All these will create the multiplier effect, and the local companies, need to keep up with all this growth and new technology. And so far in the history, they have done so. And I expect them to keep it up.
I guess sometimes the concern is that they are viewed to be, you know, still playing in the lower margins, the lower value-added space, right? Do you see them moving to the higher value-added spaces moving forward? Have they pivoted appropriately?
Okay, the question is this. The question is that as companies bring in new technology and new manufacturing processes, our companies in Malaysia actually have no choice but to keep up. So they have done so, especially in the automation area and in the development of substrates. So I expect that to be continued. So, for example, in the CAPEX, the growth last year was 34% at 152 billion US. That's a global CAPEX growth. And we expect our local companies to keep up growth in their business in Malaysia. The opportunities are there.
Yeah, and Dr. Sri, just in terms of Penang specifically, the northern region, with Intel's 30 billion ringgit investment, you know, what more can be done to attract, you know, newer players into the newer spheres? For example, NVIDIA, which are doing their own chips.
Sorry?
What else can Penang in the northern region do to attract newer players, you know, beyond Intel's with this world, like NVIDIA with its own chips and Apple with its own chips as well, into the northern region, for example, Penang?
Okay. Penang is well known for, and is named or recognized as the Silicon Valley of the East. We are mainly manufacturing. Even though we are in manufacturing, the manufacturing are state-of-the-art manufacturing, meaning that they are doing the latest product and latest manufacturing processes. So, however, we have been working in the government and as well as MSIA, E&E Productivity Nexus, try to encourage more companies to step up and go into design and development. And many are trying. Today, we have a new company called SkyChip. It is the first in Malaysia and probably in the Southeast Asia to do an IC design product. And they, after a year, they have already produced about 11 IPs. And this is quite a feat for a young company. So we are trying to encourage more of such engineers and more talents like this to come out from the MNC and start up on their own. So not just the MNC growing and going into design development, but you like to see more locals going into design development. I think we have a bright future. The opportunity is now, especially with the US-China trade war, as well as the shortages in semiconductor. So I hope to see more of this.
Yeah, Dr. Sri, just in terms of Penang, what can the state do in specific terms to attract more of these investments, whether it's in the tax framework or whether it's in the services framework or whether it's just in terms of additional services and capacities for these new companies?
I think the issue right now is that we have the right ecosystem. Of course, it can be improved. But our challenge today is talents. Okay, and labor shortages. The opportunities are so much for the Malaysian companies with these shortages. However, unless we solve our talents and labor shortages, the opportunities are not properly captured. And so the key area I think the government can help now is to see how can we help in acquiring talents. Since Malaysia do not have enough of these talents, we have been encouraging the government to go on this strategy of utilizing other countries' talents to allow the companies to take on the talents from other countries and work in Malaysia. I know that the government is concerned about if you do that, you deprive Malaysians of a job. But actually, it will help the country to keep growing and capture the latest technology and capture all the opportunities that are available to us now. So I hope the government will work on this because our latest survey on our MSIA on 70 companies, we need 23,000 people now, this year, okay? And how are we going to get all these people if we don't use other countries' talents? So that's our encouragement to the government. I hope they would listen to us and take action.
Dato' Sri, thank you very much for speaking to us this morning. That was Dato' Sri Wong Siew Hai from the Malaysia Semiconductor Industry Association, giving us an outlook for the Malaysian semiconductor industry, as well as the challenges that we face in probably ramping up on the value chain.
Yeah, just in terms of what Dato' Sri was saying about talent, right? I just want to cite the story I went through yesterday. I was talking to a creative guy. He's actually he's a videographer, right? But he and four other friends are starting a new business in gaming, in the metaverse. They're creating an NFT. And he was saying that talent is an issue. So what they did was they hired developers who build on the Binance Smart Chain, right? And the two countries which have the best developers at the best cost point are Vietnam and Philippines. Now, I just don't know, what those two countries are doing right in terms of building that particular talent pool, but maybe that's something that Malaysia can learn from.
I wonder if going forward, you really need to have the talent based in Malaysia, whether you can remotely manage all this, right? You do want to have an ecosystem and cluster where everybody is working and sharing ideas, yeah, right? But eventually, structurally, we live in a more global environment. I wonder if that's something that we can advance and take advantage for.
I mean, it reminds me of my conversation with the Phison CEO, where he said that he tried to set up a plant here. Unfortunately, the talent pool was just too small for him to sustain it, as well as the culture, really. So these are things that can't really be resolved overnight. 23,000 people, we're not going to find them in Malaysia tomorrow. But so I hope, like Dato' Sri said, hopefully policymakers are paying attention to this and seeing how we can resolve this for the longer term.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.